So two servers are watching Father get ready for Mass, and one server says to the other, "I like Father's pink vestments." The second server says, "Those aren't pink, they're rose." "How can you tell?" asks the first. "Simple," says the second. "Jesus didn't pink from the dead, he rose from the dead." And so indeed, on this Gaudete Sunday, we rejoice. We rejoice that we are halfway through the season of Advent, but we also rejoice for another, a much more important and deeper reason that our readings bring to our attention today, and that is we rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Examine with me, if you will, this wonderful gospel that we have from St. John today. We hear John the Baptist being questioned by the religious leaders as to who he is. And he says, "I am not the Christ, I am not Elijah, I am not the prophet. I am only the voice of one calling out in the wilderness." So then the Pharisees ask him, "Well, if you're essentially nobody, then why do you baptize?" And John the Baptist says, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." Now, notice that he doesn't really answer their question in that response, right? They ask him, "Well, why do you baptize with water? Why do you baptize?" And he essentially says, "I only baptize with water." Like, as opposed to what? Lemonade? You know, I mean, but he's implying something here, right? That the one who is coming after him, whoever that might be, he will baptize with something else, with something greater than simply water. Now, we know what that is. We actually just heard it last Sunday from St. Mark's Gospel. In fact, all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they recount that John the Baptist says that the Messiah will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So why does the gospel according to John not phrase it that way? Why is it different? You may know that the gospel of John is probably the most brilliantly written of all the gospels. There are no details in St. John's gospel that are not significant details. So it's not like he just kind of forgot to put it in, right? If we continue reading this passage a little bit farther than our gospel went today, here's what we learn. The next day, John the Baptist is out baptizing again, and Jesus walks by. And so John the Baptist calls his disciples over, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He says, "I have seen the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him." And then he says, this is the most interesting part. He says, "I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" There it is. Why? Why does John's gospel tell it that way? Because St. John the Evangelist is trying to make clear this point. Who really understands that the Messiah will baptize with the Holy Spirit? Not the religious leaders of the day, but only the disciples, only those who follow Jesus Christ, because only they have the experience, the joy, the new life that comes from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm sure we all are familiar with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And remember how Ebenezer Scrooge, on that the night of his great conversion, right? He is visited by three spirits, by three ghosts, right? The Christmas past, present, and future. And what do they teach him to do? They teach him to see his life in a new way, right? From a new perspective, to understand what his life has been about. And that leads to his great conversion. Well, the truth is that every one of us is also haunted by a ghost, by the Holy Ghost, right? We are with the Holy Spirit. We have been baptized into him, and he has that exact same goal. He wants to give a new perspective to our lives, to help us see it differently, to help us understand that the fact that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem is not something that just affects my life once a year when I celebrate Christmas. Because not only did God become man in Jesus Christ, become one of us, But he has united every single person throughout all of history to himself by giving us a share in his Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, right? He gives us this new life, this whole new perspective, and so this whole new joy to our lives. St. Paul kind of brings up how we as Christians see life in a different way as he speaks to the Thessalonians in our second reading today. This is what he recommends to them. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks." St. Paul, of course, is never known for his moderation. He's always out there giving you something extreme to do. But this is pretty extreme, right? How can anyone really live this way, rejoicing always, praying at all times, right? Well, we can if we understand that we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So St. Paul says, rejoice always. Well, of course, you can't feel happy all the time. You drive yourself crazy, right? But if you understand that the Holy Spirit, that God himself dwells within you, then even in those dark, difficult, painful times of life, you can experience joy. You can experience peace. Maybe that we understand that word a little bit better. We can have that peace in our hearts because we know that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Again, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, who can do that? That is impossible. We are too busy to pray without ceasing. Until we remember that prayer is union with God, communion with God. That's what prayer means. And so since we know that God, the Holy Spirit, already dwells within us, that he is literally, we are already in communion with him every day, then if we can call that to mind, if we can remind ourselves of his presence, we can literally make each day, everything that we do, all of our lives, a prayer, a continuous prayer to God. In all circumstances, give thanks. Well, we know that we can do that when we have good circumstances, but can we really give thanks in bad circumstances? Again, only if we remember that in the Holy Spirit, we are united to Jesus Christ. Because then we can take everything that is bad, that is evil in our life, and we can nail it to the cross of Christ. And we can believe that just as the Father brought out of the death of Jesus the greatest good ever, our salvation, so he can bring out of the evils and bad things in our lives a greater good than we can ever expect. See, that is the kind of new perspective, the kind of joy that we as Christians should have because we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So then what are we supposed to do with this new life, this great joy? Just sit on it? No, of course not, right? We are called to live it out, to share it, to give it to others. Our first reading today from the prophet Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, healing to the brokenhearted, liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners," right? To go out and to share the joy and the new life that we have received in the Holy Spirit, especially to those who are worst off of all. And in that way, we're called to be like John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Lord. Now, I know that a lot of us are probably uncomfortable with trying to be like John the Baptist. I don't want to stand out there any more than you do on the street corner and, you know, preach about Jesus. And in fact, many of us may feel, I don't even feel comfortable sitting around the dining room table of my good friend and talking about how much I believe in and love Jesus. But you have to remember two things. First of all, you have been given the Holy Spirit. Right? So if God wants you out on that street corner preaching boldly the coming of Jesus Christ, you can do it. He gives you the power of the Spirit to do it. But even if he doesn't call you to that kind of a bold proclamation of the gospel, we should always remember that we can still be those kind of apostles or kind of missionaries that we're called to be simply by bringing other people with us to church. This is, of course, the whole premise and mechanism of the United Catholic Movement. We haven't talked about this for several weeks now, but that's the whole goal, right? all we have to really do is love our faith enough, be anointed enough in the Holy Spirit to bring people with us to Mass or to Adoration or some other parish function. Get them here. We'll take care of the rest. We'll take care of the proclamation of the gospel. But we rely on you to bring them to know Jesus, to bring them to know the Holy Spirit. And so on this Gaudete Sunday, this is why we rejoice, because we have been given a new life, a new perspective in the Holy Spirit, and we are called to share that new life, to share that joy with all those that we meet today, so that we can be like John the Baptist and prepare the way for the Lord.